Jadel Cavillin from Little Waldo Farm is with me. Jadel is a regular on the Two Harbors radio station and a regular part of our community as well. You do so many different things for us in this town. Jadel, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, that was very nice of you. Thank you, Katya. Happy to be.
Yes, absolutely. So I got to start by saying quite a wet few weeks we've had here. What's it been like the end of the season to have such dry and then such hot and then such wet? I mean, my goodness, what's it like?
Oh my gosh, challenging this year for sure. Certainly in my case, and from what I've heard from others, we are very grateful to have the rain because certainly the plants need it going into the winter. But yeah, it's made the end of season harvest a little interesting.
Yeah. Are things like rotting in the fields? I don't know what happens when you get so much wet so late in the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly instances of things if they weren't, you know, in the right kind of soil where it can drain well enough if they're root crops and stuff. So I've heard some people have lost some carrots, some potatoes if they hadn't gotten them out yet. But overall, I feel like people are getting what they needed. There's still plenty of bounty out there for everybody. And yeah, we're a resilient bunch up here.
You are a resilient bunch. And what have you had a hard frost?
We have had a light frost. We still have things that are growing outside, though not very happily because it is so wet and cool. But yeah, it's certainly coming, and we are still growing just fine in the high tunnels. So we have a little ways to go yet.
Okay, great. Now, last year, I will tell you that you just really were talking a lot about sort of the way you can leave stuff in the gardens. And I left a lot of stuff just there to become mulch and cover for next year. And I had a few happy kale plants just pop up out of nowhere this year. And it seemed to work really well. So how can you just give us some basics on how to put your gardens to rest over the winter? Good ways, better ways, and best ways.
Sure, yeah. Well, this is definitely my favorite time for garden maintenance because I like to say that being a lazy fall gardener is really the best that you can do for your gardens.
Yeah, I love that.
It really helps to protect the soil if you're leaving plant debris over that bare soil. That way it's kind of insulated from really steep temperature increases and decreases, and certainly being scorched or burnt by freezes and sun and such. So keeping that soil covered is a really great thing. Just keep in mind that you do want to remove any diseased plant material. So for instance, I like to go in and wherever I grew tomatoes, I try to remove the tomato plant itself just because tomatoes are notorious for spreading that mosaic virus. If you see any sort of diseases on your tomato plants, sometimes they can be left in the garden and spread to your plants next year. So I like to clean up anything that I've seen disease on and get that out of the garden. You can compost it, but be cautious with that as well because you certainly need to get your compost to the right temperature to kill off some of that stuff. So if you're not diligent on your compost pile, certainly there's the yard waste disposal area up at the fairgrounds in Two Harbors, so that would be an option for you. But yeah, otherwise you can just pretty much leave everything. I like to go in and deadhead or clip back my stems of taller perennial plants and things, and that allows some nesting habitat or some overwintering habitat for some of our native bees and other pollinators that will actually burrow into those hollow or pithy stems and spend the winter.
Now, I have raspberries, and I've heard clip off this year's flower burying plants down at 6 inches above, and I've also heard like 2 feet above. Does it matter how you trim them?
Yeah, in fact, first of all, you need to know whether you have summer bearing or fall bearing raspberry bushes.
Okay. What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, so you get berries in the summer from the summer bearing ones. They're earlier fruiting, and the fall bearing ones are later fruiting. So it depends on what you have. If you just have the wild raspberries coming up, they are likely the summer bearing raspberries. And so, yeah, it depends on which variety you have and how to prune. So do you know which ones you have, Katya?
Well, I assume they're summer because they buried in August. Is that safe to say or not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
When did they start burying? And this year, I guess, would be hard to know for sure because everything was a little bit later this year.
Right. I would say mid-August. It was a little bit late.
Yeah. So if you have the summer bearing fruit, then those are the ones you're going to go in and prune back. The canes that produced this year,
yeah,
you're going to go in and trim those back. And the ones that didn't produce this year, you would leave those because those are going to be the ones that are going to bear fruit for you this next year.
Right. And how close to the ground do you trim them?
So you can prune them pretty much all the way back. I'm guessing what you heard about the 6 inches would be for canes that are producing for next year. So there's floral yeah, canes. So
but you're saying don't trim those at all. If they didn't flower this year, they will do it next year, and you should just leave them be.
You can leave them be, certainly. People will prune them back just because maybe the snow load might cut them off or, you know,
okay,
bend them over and snap them. And if they get damaged by anything, then certainly you can trim them back to that 6 inch level, or I would keep them a little higher because you want as much of that cane left to produce fruit for you as possible.
Okay, wonderful. And now you talk a lot about mulch too, but before we get into mulch, the plants that you leave in the ground, the ones healthy with no bugs, do you suggest just literally leaving them, or do you suggest pulling them out and then just laying them down?
I like to leave the whole plant where it's at and then just cut off at either the base of the stem where it was growing up, or again, leaving that 12 to 18 inches for those native pollinators. Leaving that root system in the ground and planting around it the next year helps to provide pore spaces for air and water filtration.
Oh.
So if you don't remove them, it's a really great thing to leave. Certainly, you're going to run out of space in your gardens over time as you're planting over the years. And so, yeah, it's okay to remove the stuff that you need to, but the less soil disturbance in your spaces, the better.
Great. That is what I needed to know. And then tell us again about mulch. What can we use to cover the ground, and what benefits will that have?
Yeah, so I'm sure some of the listeners have heard of the Leave the Leaves campaign. That is a huge positive for all of our overwintering beneficial insects, so things like fireflies and, of course, our native bees and things. There's lots of different cocoons and chrysalises in those leaves from different butterflies and moths, and they're all really important in our food chain. So leaving the leaves is great. That's great mulch for your gardens. If you can get clean leaves from people, make sure there's no pet waste or anything like that in the leaves that you're getting. If people are happening to rake up leaves out of their yard and wanting to discard them, certainly if they're good to go, you can utilize those in your spaces. I will use anything from straw, as long as you know that it's not been treated, to, you know, old grass clippings, as long as it's not super weedy, and of course wood chips. So there's lots of options for mulch. Just make sure that you're covering your soil.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people in town, I've noticed, bag up their leaves and take them out to the waste. And I often wonder if there are people living out in the country that would love to have those leaves. There's no clearinghouse that you know of how to, like, match up town people with extra leaves and rural people that need leaves.
Yeah, you know, I don't know of any specific database or anything
okay,
that you can connect that way. I know certainly there is a few different groups on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, that you can find. There's like the Duluth Young Farmers Coalition. That's a great place to post things like that, because there's certainly people that are growers and farmers that would be looking for extra. So that would be my first recommendation, I guess. But certainly just putting it out there, you know,
yeah,
advertise for people if you can, and I'm sure somebody would grab them up. And for people that want to remove the leaves off of their landscape, it's okay to rake up the leaves. I would stay away from the leaf blowers, because those certainly get a little powerful and can certainly destroy some of those insects that are harboring
oh,
in that leaf. But you can rake them up and just move them off to a place that's not so visible in your yard. Just kind of gently move them somewhere else, and then you're preserving those beneficial insects, and you don't have to necessarily look at them if you don't like that sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Yes, you're wonderful teacher, Jadel, for helping us to think of our leaves differently. I mean, it's just so often been what you get rid of them and have your, you know, your green yard back for the rest of the year. But there are other options, and we're starting to learn how to do that. So thank you. I think we're very out of time. But is there anything else quickly to add?
Oh, gosh, no. Thank you so much. And everybody, if you can get out to the gala, come and support our local radio.
Thank you. Thanks for that little promo. All right, Jadel, till next time. You take care.
Thank you. You too, Katya.
That was Jadel Cavillin, master gardener and owner of Little Waldo Farm.